My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you. Once upon a time, there was a program called My Word, which gave birth to an unruly musical child called My Music, the musical participants of which are John Amos and Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John, starting with you, on June the 10th, 1899, not far from Paris, a cyclist lost control going down a hill, swerved and crashed into a wall. He was killed instantly. Sad in many ways, but the fact that he was one of France's most promising composers. Lovely music. Who was the man who wrote it, John Composer?
He was poor old Chausson.
That's right.
He was only about 44 or something like that.
Something of that sort.
And he went, he rode a bike all the time, and it was a journey he'd often done. He just went smack into a wall.
Yeah. Amédée Chausson, composer of that poem de l'amour.
Jeannette Boulanger singing?
No, it was Jeannette Becker. Frank, here is part of a famous First World War tune. There's a long, long trail of winding. For your mark, can you identify, please, the two instruments performing it? Struck me as a
it's 5 o'clock, and this is extraordinary. It's a pip.
Yes,
and a piano.
You can't do that with many tunes, but you could do it with that one. Yes, the Greenwich Time signal.
Where did you find that?
I just thought of it one day. There they are. Ian, where are we, please, and in which composer's company? Where are we there, Ian?
Well, we're in Venice.
Yes.
At night time, and in a sense, I owed my operatic start to that work, because the Russian impresario J. Pomeroy, who founded the New London Opera Company at the London's Cambridge Theatre in 1946, had previously put on a night in Venice, and he mounted La Boheme, and exactly that was it. That.
Yes, Johann Strauss, The Tooth, that's right. From Cambridge, 1944, the first performance there. Also at the Coliseum in 1976, because Mrs. Barbara Morley of Bolton was there, and she sent me a copy of the programme, which reads at one point, Act One, A Small Pizza in Venice.
A pizza.
Yes. Dennis, your turn. Who's this singer?
Is it an earthquake? Oh, simply a shock. Is it that good turtle soup? Oh, me a little mock. Is it a cocktail, this feeling of joy? Or is what I feel for real? Because...
Dennis, the singer?
He's one of the school of hop, hop.
Yeah,
that's Buddy Greco. Biting the words off and going hop. I love that hop hop.
Yes, Dennis. Somewhere in that song are the words: "Have I the right hunch or have I the wrong? Will it be Bach I shall hear or just a Cole Porter song?" It's a lyric writer sending himself up. Can you think of another example of that?
Bach. I can think of Cole Porter did it again. He did it. He wrote a song called.
Let's End the Beguine.
Yes. about his own song.
About his own song.
I was thinking about Ira Gershwin, too, and Gershwin Keeps Pounding on Tin.
Oh, yes,
from
by Strauss. Yeah.
Mozart did it in Don Giovanni in the last act, where he plays a bit of the Non Più and Dry from Figaro and says, oh, I don't want to hear that boring tune again.
Yeah, I was getting to that.
It's a matter of scale. There's the pentatonic scale. There's the diatonic scale.
Both can be treated.
Well, yes. But there's also the chromatic scale. So, John, I wonder what date you would put on that. How far back in time, would you guess, does the chromatic scale go? Earliest known reference to...
Oh, I don't know. 100 BC?
Well, it's a good guess, but there's a set of Chinese stone chimes, perfectly tuned chromatically, and dating from 2000 BC. There
always is.
Yeah, there always is. Yeah. Frank, I'm going to play you a lament or a keening on the piano, I hasten to add, not on the pipes. It dates from about 1649. Of Col, Frank, composed that in, as I said, about 1649. What was it he was lamenting? What was he sad about?
Hearing it played on the piano, perhaps. What should I be thrusting my mind in the direction of?
What had happened shortly before 1649?
I can do it late 1849, it would have been Clementine, wouldn't it, in the Gold Rush, lamenting, "Oh, my darling."
No, something happened before then, and not far from here, actually, that made a lot of people sad. Yes, thank you, John. Drawing your...
It's the middle of the Commonwealth business,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it was the execution of Charles the First.
Yes.
That's what it was.
I almost said that, didn't I?
I felt I couldn't wait any longer. Ian...
1749, but there's Fielding's Tom Jones was published. And he could have been very sad at not having written that.
Yes, he could. Ian, I've been reading a book by Francis Collinson about early Scots music. Have a wild guess as to the date of the earliest known chanter.
A wild guess?
Hmm.
Well, Francis Collinson, whom I knew well and was a wonderful arranger of folk songs, not just Scots ones, but English ones as well. I think he was the great spirit behind a programme called Country Magazine years ago. But I suspect there is a trick in this, because I think this probably goes back long before the Scots chanter.
A long way.
One thinks of sort of Roman legions and goodness knows what. I would say about 3000 BC.
I'd give that man a mark over there, Janet. 3200 to 3500 BC. The earliest known chanter comes from our old friend Ur of the Chaldees.
Oh, goodness.
Yes. Earliest chanter with a drone attached, I should add, was only 2700 BC, and that's in Cairo Museum. Dennis, your turn. In 1932, Henry Briggs cut down a large harp in order to try his hand at making something. In order to try his hand at making what?
I presume if you cut it down a large harp small enough, you could use it for one of those things for making slices in a hard-boiled egg. those are inserting in the middle of veal and ham pies.
He may have used it for that. What he made was a clasach, which is an early Scots harp, actually. Here's a question for anybody. A celebrated Scots fiddler named Patty Burney became famous for something he did after the Battle of Bothwell Bridge. What did he do? Anybody?
Resign.
He wasn't executed, was he?
No. He did something very praiseworthy. I'll tell you what it was, just for interest. He ran all the way home to Kinghorn, which was a distance of 70 miles. A sort of super marathon, you might say.
He must have been as fit as a fiddle.
Granados, Chopin, Wagner, Nogue, Prokofiev, great musical names. And all of them represented in this week's piano medley. The usual rules, four for each side to identify. First four, then four, John and Frank.
Granados, Lover, yes. And the Nightingale.
Well, yes. I say, John, I could have got it.
Could you?
No. On second thought.
I take your point, though. Yes, somebody writes to me every time this is mentioned, said it's not the Lover, it's the Maiden and the Nightingale. So anyway, that's what it is by Granados. Then...
Frank. Chopin Waltz.
Then, did you get...
Run, rabbit, run.
No, there's another one for us.
I didn't notice that. He's looking at you again.
Tristan.
Yes. Comes from Isolde's Liebeschatz.
And a soldier.
That's right. Yeah. Then came John.
Run.
Run.
Yes.
Rabbit.
Yes.
Run.
Yeah, thank you. You popped it in correctly.
And then came...
Well, over to Wynne.
Peter and the Wolf.
Yes, it's Peter's own theme going out into the country. And then...
Oh, I hate this role. Die Meistersinger.
Thank you.
On Nuremberg.
And then I didn't play it quite much, so I'll play it right this time.
Oh, good. Good or bad, it doesn't mean anything to me.
You don't know it, Dennis.
I don't know that.
Very old song called Tom Thumb's Drum.
Really?
Mm. Mm. And then...
Oh, well, yes. It's the only part that I came into the picture. Only a beautiful picture in a beautiful golden frame.
Yes. Well, you dropped a little bit there. But
Never mind.
One can find strange, exotic languages set to music. Unfamiliar words to us at any rate. John, who set to music the name Pormenoc?
Oh, once Pormenoc and something. Right. It's Walt Pormenoc. Whitman, undoubtedly.
Yes.
And it's that tale about the two lovebirds.
That's right.
Seadrift, Delius. Yes,
that's right. Once.
And I, a curious boy, translated.
When lilac scent was in the air and fifth month grass was growing, it's a lovely piece.
We two together.
Frank, a popular song that not only uses but also rhymes the word anticipating.
Just anticipating things you may never forget. Yeah. Yeah, and she may be weary. Women do get weary.
Or she may be waiting.
Just anticipating.
Exactly. Try a little tenderness. That's right. Two words for Ian. Singular anomaly.
Oh, yes. That comes from one of Coco's songs in the Mikado.
Yep.
That singular anomaly, the lady novelist. And I was very interested, because the other day I went to a performance of the Mikado where Coco was played by John Reed, who for so many years was the principal comedian of the Doily Cart Company. And I don't know what he had substituted... But clearly the fact that lady novelists are by no means an anomaly anymore, he had changed that line to something else.
Maybe, yes.
And I thought, well, all the lady novelists will say, well, just about time too.
Dennis, solitaire, where does that come in a popular song?
Well, there's a Neil Sedaka song.
But there is, that's
solitaire.
One, but there's one that...
Oh, yes, once I laughed, when I heard you say, I'd be playing solitaire. It never entered my mind.
Never entered my mind, that's right.
Lawrence Hart.
Geraldine Durrant writes from East Grinstead to ask you a question. She was, she says, moved to tears by Frank Muir's rendition of September Song.
She's a singing teacher.
And I gather she really means it. Is there, she asks, any particular song that you would avoid singing in public for fear of breaking down with emotion? John?
I don't think so, because I think if you rehearsed it, then you would get through the tears at the rehearsals.
Yes. Good. A good point.
I must say, though, that sometimes at lectures, I was giving a lecture once on Granger, and two of the pieces affected me very much, and so I learnt not to listen. And then another tune came along, and I wasn't prepared, and I suddenly blubbed. And I couldn't... I found it very difficult to go on, and somebody said, that was a very jokey bit, wasn't it? When you pretended to sob.
Isn't it rotten?
Yeah.
Frank.
That's something different, actually. It's like when Dennis sings, I tend to reach for the sick bag or hanky or something. But actually, one doesn't sob when you don't sing. It's against all our culture. We are trained always to hide those extreme emotions. But funnily enough, you're not allowed to sob in public, but you're allowed to laugh in public. Whereas in the 18th century, it was perfectly right for gentlemen to burst into tears and to kiss each other and whatnot. But no gentleman would be seen laughing in public. Very odd, isn't it?
Yeah, turnaround. Isn't it? The absolute turnaround is just about that, a couple of hundred years. Ian, anything you... Now, this is interesting. Something you would not trust yourself to sing in public?
I think what John said is absolutely right, that if you are singing professionally, part of the job is to keep your emotions under control. But there are times when emotion in this way can come on you very unawares, and I think this is when it would always happen, so that one wouldn't necessarily know, and that is because of the association. It sometimes falls to me to sing, for example, at a memorial service.
Ah, yes.
And sometimes... On that sort of occasion, it wouldn't matter what one was singing, just a couple of words might affect one, and then it could be very, very difficult to continue. But in the ordinary way, one can feel very emotional about some songs. I do indeed feel emotional about some, but you've sort of girded yourself before you start to get through.
Yeah. Dennis?
That business of crying, of a thing making you cry, they did on television a biography, I won't mention names here, of a well-known, very much loved variety star, and they had a modern variety star playing him, and there was a moment of intense sadness in the old variety star's life, and he was an emotional guy, the guy playing him, and he had to sing a song at this point, and he cried. And the producer said, let's leave it in, those tears are marvellous. They look good. And he was utterly wrong. Because if you're going to cry in a performance, it's got to be a controlled crying. Oh, yeah. And you've got to know what you're doing. And it looked and it played utterly wrongly. Yeah. You know?
I must find time to tell you, years ago when I worked for Jack Hilton on a television series, he brought along a lady called Rosalita Neri, Italian girl, who came along to sing Arrivederci Roma. And I played it for her, and she got about 8 bars into the song about her hometown and broke down completely. There was mascara all over the studio. And she said, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I'll try again. She tried again, and she never did sing the thing properly. We had to change the tune in rehearsal eventually. And when Alfred Marx, who was comparing that program, came in, I said, Alfred, the strangest thing happened. Whenever I played Arrivederci Roma, she burst into tears. He said, I'm exactly the same whenever I hear Let's All Go Down the Strand. Some of Frank's old-time songs have delicious tunes as well as catchy words. So here's a first chorus from me and then a second one from Frank. A real old favourite.
By the light the silvery moon. I want to spoon. To my honey, I'll croon love's tune. Honey moon, keep a shining in June. Your silvery beams will bring love's dreams. We'll be cuddling soon. By the silvery moon, silvery moon.
In one of our programmes some time ago, Ian sang a lovely little song called Emily. In fact, we must ask him to do it again sometime. But in the meantime, John has an Emily to sing about. This one is by the American composer Mark Blitzstein.
It's, if I may just say, it's a wartime scene, American Air Force, probably at an aerodrome in East Anglia, and he's trying to write. I take my pen in hand, Emily, to make you understand what you are to me. I write as far as dear Emily, and cannot make it clear what you are. You are my heart's one cry. If you were nearby, you could tell me why so easily. Write me, you will be true, Emily. Write me, I am to you what you are to me.
That comes from something called the Airborne Symphony. Don't like to think where Dennis's song this week comes from. The world of West End cabaret, I suspect.
Every night in cabaret, on a stool I sit and play, entertaining slap-up throngs with dirty, dirty, dirty songs. Dirty songs with a sexy trend make folks feel they are real West End. There's not a thing goes down so strong as a really dirty, dirty song. The bees and the breeze and the trees, no doubt, are well enough now and then. But when girls who are really girls go out with men who are really men, you make it blue, you give them dirt in a nice white tie and a nice clean shirt. They'll clap you loud and they'll clap you strong till they get a still dirtier, dirty song.
Dennis, listen. I quote from a parody song. By the old whitewashed pagoda looking eastward to the west, there's a Burma girl from Bermondsey sits in a sparrow's nest. Who delivered those deathless lines?
Billy Bennett.
Thank you, Billy. Yes, Billy Bennett. James Agard said his grossness was like a high wind blowing over a noisome place.
I thought a much more delicate compliment than that. He said that Billy Bennett raised every night to the level of a Saturday night. which is not a bad epitaph, yeah?
It was wonderful.
Billy Bennett himself once said, they don't like me in Huddersfield, they take me for a baritone.
I saw him once, and the house was a bit peculiar, so he lay down. And did the whole act supine.
Oh, dear, marvellous about it. Anyway,
he was the one who came on and said it was a dirty night and a dirty trick when I got wrecked in the Atlantic.
Well,
we're talking of in the workhouse, and the snow was falling fast, and the fellas was eating their pancakes. I'm a liar. That was Good Friday.
I did a little bit of it. It's parody on Mandalay. Parody on Mandalay. Sorry. I'll never forget Mandalay. Can you take us to the real Mandalay, please, Ian?
I'll have a try.
Okay, right.
By the old Moulin Pagoda, looking eastwards to the sea, there's a Burma girl a-setting, and I know she thinks of me. For the wind is in the palm trees, and the temple bells, they say, come ye back, ye British soldier, come ye back to Mandalay. Come ye back to Mandalay. Come ye back to Mandalay, where the old flotilla lay. Can't you hear them paddles chunking from Rangoon to Mandalay? On the road to Mandalay, where the flying fishes play, and the dawn comes up like thunder out of China Cross the
So you don't know it, eh? Just in case you didn't know, Kipling's words to that. But it's time to go. A victory this week for Ian and Dennis. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.